So a few years ago, right before we moved to Lafayette, I went through this really rough spiritual time. And I know you're thinking, you're the pastor. Smooth sailing, right? And it's not. I would actually venture to say that any struggles that you have with God, I have had with God as well. But at that particular time, there had been some personal defeats in life. There had been some personal struggles. And I was really struggling with my sense of purpose. I wasn't quite sure what I was doing with my life. And it even led to me wondering if God had actually called me to be a pastor. I was not really succeeding at that time at being an emotionally and spiritually healthy person. And so for a spell, really more out of desperation than anything, I kind of let go of everything. I logged off of Facebook and Twitter, which will solve a myriad of problems in life, quite frankly. I stepped back from just about all but the essentials of church life. And I started to focus on my own spiritual life. And I remember during that period that I prayed every day. And I mean every day. I was using this app at the time on my phone that would keep track of my sessions of prayer. And I remember getting to more than 100 days in a row of steady prayer. And that period helped me develop this sense of peace. I began to accept my own limits, which is something you should do in your early 30s, I think, if not every year after that. And I once again began to hear the love and grace of a God who doesn't actually require more from me, but rather accepts me as I am, a child of God. And I heard that God speak, reminding me that I had been called, and gave me the insight that it was probably time to move on from where we were. And so I put my papers together, wrote all my theological statements, posted it online, and a few months later, got a call from this church in Lafayette, Indiana, that was looking for a pastor. And you know, you would think the lesson of this whole thing would have been that, like, oh, prayer is not just a good thing in my life, it is essential for me. That it provides so many things for me in my day-to-day life, and how could I ever not do it? And you know, sometimes I do, but often I just don't. I just don't set aside the time for prayer. I know that it is important, that in dark places in my life, it has provided the light that I needed. But then things go a little bit haywire and I get distracted. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. The Bible is full of folks who know what is best in their lives, either through experience or through knowledge. They know what they need. And then, when they try to live it, they're just a little bit off base. They forget what is actually most important. And I will say this 100 more times in sermons. If it's true of folks in the Bible, we should probably also reckon that it's true of us. That even though we know what's best, we're not always quite where we need to be with it. And so with that, I invite you to join me in listening to our scripture for today from the book of 1 Samuel. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us, then, a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and daughters and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be performers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his children, or give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyard and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we also may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." May God bless this reading. Well, throughout the Bible, there are all of these intermediary figures. There are people who are intermediaries between us and God. They're not gatekeepers, per se. They don't control access to God so much. Their job isn't to make sure that everyone is doing the right thing, but rather they are called to listen to God, to get a perspective that is from the position of an observer. Maybe the most popular of these in Scripture are prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos. They're folks who listen to God's word and pass judgment on the people for not living up to their end of the bargain. But even before there were prophets, there were folks appointed to be attentive, to help people make the best decisions in line with God's will. And Samuel was one of those. Samuel is a judge. And there are all sorts of judges in the Old Testament, including faithful men and women. They helped arbitrate in disputes. They encourage folks to follow the ways of Yahweh. They offer wisdom and advice. And much like the prophets, they sometimes communicate bad news. And people end up not wanting to listen to them. So today we hear Samuel, who has been a faithful servant, dealing with the disgruntled people who have decided, with a lack of good judges, that it is time to appoint a king. And so they go to Samuel and say, "Samuel, you talk to God in order that God can figure out who can be our king." And we hear the story. God is not happy with them. God offers a bunch of warnings. A king will bring all sorts of trouble: slavery, taxes, war. And God wonders about why the people have decided that God's method, God's work through judges, won't work. You know, we hear that people are disgruntled with Samuel's sons. They obviously can't fill in. They are not as faithful as the judge has been. But you've got to wonder, why does God only work through a hereditary line? Is there a lack of trust among the people that God will appoint someone else? Can God not call a prophet or a judge from just about anywhere? So the people of Israel fall into the same trap that we often fall into. They are sure that they know what is best. They look around and they see the other nations and what's going on, and they say, "We can be like that." It's not so much that they ignore God's advice, though they do ignore it, but they also don't really have the humility to admit they may need some help making the right decisions. They may need to trust the advice of an outside observer, of somebody who can see things differently than they do. You know, writing in the 4th century, the Christian theologian St. Augustine was famous for saying that what plagued humanity was disordered desire. And this is actually how he defined sin, as disordered desire. According to the current day writer Nick Cady, quote, "Sin," Augustine said, "is ultimately a lack of love, either for God or for your neighbor. He famously stated that the essence of sin is disordered love. Disordered love means that we often love less important things more, and more important things less than we ought to. And this wrong prioritization leads to unhappiness and disorder in our lives. And you can point to different places in Scripture where this happens. In the book of James, he writes, "What quarrels and what causes fight among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions." Or the famous passage in Romans that I love reading because of the weird poetry of it all. "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Which I just feel is a way to sum up even my time personally in my faith life. And so what do we do with this disordered desire? We can add to this list, by the way, the Israelites back in Samuel's time, who are just sure they know what they want, and they are sure it is the right thing. They look around at the other nations and see kings, see rulers, and say, "Yeah, that's good enough for us." So how do we deal with the fact that we might not always know what's best for us? You know, in the Christian tradition and in my own life, one of the ways that I have dealt with this personally is through a practice that's known as spiritual direction. So currently, I meet monthly with somebody who is trained to be a spiritual director, somebody who walks alongside me in my spiritual life and talks about where I am at in my faith walk. And so at each meeting, I talk about what's going on in my own life, and I talk about the struggles or the joys or whatever it is that is going on. And then my director tries to get me to focus on where the Holy Spirit is guiding. Because honestly, just because I think I'm being led by the Spirit doesn't mean that I'm going in the right direction. And so if we go backwards to that, when I was in Portland and struggling so much with sense of purpose, I began to see a spiritual director back there. She was an older Franciscan nun. And when I first met with her, I can remember I found her very cold and unattentive, which is not really what you want with somebody who's supposed to be a conversation partner. Sometimes it felt like she wasn't listening to me. And then she would say something incredibly direct and to the point and without mincing words. She asked about how I was leaning into my strengths. I would talk a lot about the things I wasn't good at, that I couldn't do. She said, "Maybe focus on what you're good at then, and not just your weaknesses." And she would always do the thing that good directors do, which is she would ask me how my prayer life was. And then when I would talk about what I thought about God, she would ask me to stop pontificating and give straight answers. I mean, she was like, it was a thing. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't really like our time together. I did not enjoy it. But I needed it. I needed someone to point out the places in my life where what I said I wanted wasn't actually what I wanted. And this woman, in her experience and wisdom, was able to do just that. Maybe she wasn't the nicest about it. But we do all need this from time to time. Someone who has walked with us enough to know when we're fooling ourselves. Someone to tell us, "Hey, you've wandered a bit. It's time to come back." And it is one of the great things about church. We have all of these folks in this room who have different experiences, different knowledge sets, who come together to pray, to worship, to study, and to serve. And if we're doing it right, we can all bring a sense of our own humility, a sense that we have something to learn from one another, that we don't actually know all of the answers. The ancient philosopher Socrates was really famous for saying that wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. He said, I am wise because I know that I know nothing. By this, he thought that his ignorance would lead to more questions, to the quest for truth itself. And faith is so much like that. If we begin with what we think is the right answers, we cut ourselves off from what might be possible. Now, the Israelites coming to Samuel to demand a king are cutting themselves off from the possibility that just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean it's right. Just because all the other nations have a king doesn't make it right. Just because all of the other nations have built up storehouses and wealth and armies doesn't make it what the people of God ought to do. And they need to realize that. Just because it's something they desire doesn't mean it's what God wants. And I wonder today where this is true in your own life. What are the things that we are certain we want, but that in actuality, if we had an honest conversation with someone close to us, we'd realize that we need something else? And I wonder, too, if there are folks in your life who provide this for you. Folks who are close, who pray with you, and who call you out when you're not going in the right direction. Because we do all need these kinds of people. I know I have found them invaluable in my life, even if I have found them irritating. But we will probably never get to a place where our lives, where our desires are completely ordered around God's intentions in our life. And so in lieu of that possibility, we continue together in community, seeking deep, prayerful companionship, seeking the voice of God that sometimes speaks to us in still, quiet moments, and sometimes speaks in the voice of a friend or a loved one who says, hey, knock it off. May we in all things seek the wisdom that comes from companionship and from God. So let us pray. Oh, holy and gracious God, as we gather today, we pray for your spirit in this place. May you in all things come and move within us and through us and around us. We pray today, God, knowing that you are good, that you are faithful. May we always be willing to have the humility to listen, to pray, to discern what it is you want in our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen.